Here, you have a responsibility to shut up and listen to me. Amen.
Hey.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. And so here today, I'm saying that Eli had responsibilities. And his responsibilities were to lead in the worship, teaching the word of God, the law of God. And he had responsibilities over the rest of the priests because he was the head banana. He was the head high priest. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And you know, it's the same way in the local church, Everything rises and falls on leadership. And the head pastor is going to be called to account. If he doesn't discipline in the local church, listen to me, if he doesn't discipline the local church according to God's word, God will hold him accountable. And if he himself violates the word of God and is subject to discipline, then God will discipline him. Take him out of this world, in many cases. He knows how to do it. It's no small thing, let me tell you. You don't have to take God's place, he'll do it. That's why David didn't lay his hand on God's anointing. And Eli, there was a failure of leadership. And so you see, God is about to deal with him about his responsibility. And he had many responsibilities of leadership that he failed. One thing he failed was with the other priest. I want you to listen back there now. I can see you. I'm watching you. Are you watching me? And so he had a responsibility to these priests. And you know what? These priests were young men. He was an old man in his 90s. But these priests were young men. And you know what they would do? They'd see the women that came into church and they'd say, "That's a hottie, that's a hottie, that's a hottie." Yeah. They came to worship God. But they'd say, "That's a hottie, that's a hottie, that's a hottie." And you know what? They'd fornicate with those girls. They'd fornicate with them. Some of you come to church just looking for a woman, and you're always talking to a woman. You should be here for God. God takes care of the rest of it. And so I'm just saying that's what they were doing. And you know what Eli did to these priests? He should have, listen to me, according to the Old Testament law, it's not today, but according to the Old Testament law, he should have called for their stoning. Because they were in the temple serving as adult priests. He should have called for their stoning. They were in Israel. But he didn't. You know what? He just tapped them on the wrist. "I hear what you're doing, boys. It's not right." That's all he did. But that wasn't even the worst of it. Do you know what they did? The people would come to the temple to worship God. And under the law, they had to bring their meat offerings to God. And the meat was raw meat and it had fat all over the meat. And under the law of God, it said they were to boil the meat in the broth and let the steam of the fat come up to God. And God would eat the fat. You know why God ate the fat? Because God wasn't a glutton. It didn't hurt him. Fat will hurt you. Eat a lot of fat, it'll hurt you. And so the fat was boiled off. And then the raw meat was cooked and no fat on it. It went to the priest's family and that's what they ate. That's how they ate their food. But do you know what the sons of Eli did? They would go in there and they would take some kind of a big fork and the people would be worshiping God and boiling the meat and letting the fat go to, and they would spear the meat and take it right out before it was boiled. And they said, "We want our meat right now. We want our meat right now." And so there was no fat boiled off the meat. And they took it and they ate it. And you know what? The Bible says that they got real fat. Do you know what? It's wrong to be fat. We say it's wrong to smoke and it's wrong to drink. It's wrong to be fat. I'm just saying to you, we need to put our lives under God. These men were worshiping their belly. The Bible says your God is your belly. A lot of Americans need that. Amen. That's right. And so Eli got so fat himself That later on, when God judged Israel for what was going on there, and Eli heard that the ark had been stolen by the Philistines and taken in battle, when he got that bad news, he was sitting on a chair. He was in his late 90s, and he got so upset he fell off his chair, and he was so fat he broke his neck and died suddenly. I'm just saying to you that it was a failure to do his responsibility of leadership. But this morning I want to deal with one failure of Eli that I haven't yet mentioned, and it is one that you could miss. It's in verse 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel 3. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now, I just want to say one thing. Do you know what the word "ere" means? E-R-E? How many of you know what the word "ere" means? All right, not A-I-R. E-R-E. It's an old English word here. It just simply means before. Before. And what he's saying here is that when Samuel went to sleep and Eli was laying down in his bed, and they laid down in their beds before the lamp of God went out. There's a problem with that. You know what the problem was? The lamp of God was never to go out, according to Leviticus chapter 14. And I want to preach to you this morning, listen up, every one of you, and it's on the message, how is your lamp doing? And I want to say, first of all, that you are responsible for your lamp. And I want you to look with me, first of all, though, at 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." You remember that Samuel was just a little boy. When he was a baby in the mama's belly, Hannah, she promised that she would lend him to the Lord. And so she gave him to Eli so he could be raised in the temple area and could help Eli the high priest. And his dad was a priest called Elkanah from the tribe of Ephraim and all of that. And so that happened. And so Samuel was growing up there and he was in the temple with Eli, helping him just as a little boy. But it says, and I don't want you to forget this, it says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now, what a vision was a prophecy, a direct revelation from God to a prophet, and the prophet would speak to the people, the word of God, the will of God. And the Bible said there was no open vision. Now, what that means is they had private prophecies that were given to Eli and to the leaders, but the people didn't have a prophet giving them the word of God. It was precious to get the word of God in those days. You know what I believe? I believe the word of God is precious today. I don't think you can go to a lot of places today. You can go to some where you hear the old King James Bible preached. I said, where you hear the old King James Bible preached, and this is to prophesy because God gave us the word through prophets, and now we proclaim the words of the prophets in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what America needs today. We need the old time preaching, but it's precious in our day. We have too little of it. We have too many laced underwear patsy preachers that are tiptoeing through the tithers and not speaking as the oracles of God to the people. We need the Holy Bible today. And we need a holy God today. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. God loves everybody. We're all going. No, you're not. God is love, but holiness is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Eli should have been jealous for his holiness, like Phinehas was, the great priest that speared two fornicating people, one an Israelite, the other a pagan. I'm just saying to you, your responsibility, Eli's responsibility, is important. And Eli was failing in his responsibility, and the word of God was precious in those days. And then it says in verse 2, I want you to notice this, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. You know what? He's a leader. He should be able to see. Amen? Amen. Now, I realize that's talking about his physical sight, and you know, that's a problem. But sometimes God lets physical things happen to show you spiritual things. Remember when Samson got his eyes poked out? You know why he got his eyes poked out? He was always looking at women. Always had his eyes on women. Like Eli's sons. Amen? So his eyes couldn't see. And you know what? We got too many preachers today and too many people that are supposed to be leaders. They're in the internet all the time. They're always on the internet, always on the internet, always on. And too little in the Bible. They look at too much and read the Word of God too little. And meditate too little on the Word of God. What are you meditating on? What you meditate on, you'll manifest. What you talk about all the time, that's what you're meditating on. Our first pastor, he talked about God, and he talked about the Word of God, and he said, what you meditate on, you're going to manifest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What's wrong with America today is not primarily centered in the White House. It's in God's house. Let judgment begin in the house of God first. And we need it today, beloved. We need it today. And Eli, he had a responsibility to lead. And he didn't do it. And his vision failed. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now I want you to read with me verse 3. I'll read it. You follow. It says, an heir, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. He was counting sheep there. He was trying to get to sleep. And the light went out at night. Now listen, I want to tell you that was wrong, that the light went out. And that's what my sermon is all about. In Leviticus 24, 2 through 4, it says this, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle. Shall Aaron order it from evening until morning before the Lord continually? It shall be a statute forever. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Now listen, in the holy place of the temple of God was the showbread, the table of showbread, but it had the seven-branched menorah, golden menorah. And each branch of the candlestick had a lamp. And that lamp consisted of a wick that went down through the gold into oil. It was dipped in pure virgin olive oil. And the priest had to make sure that that wick was trimmed, because when you burned it, crud would get on each wick. Trim the wick, or it wouldn't burn right. And make sure the oil is in there every day so it's fresh virgin olive oil and it would burn brightly. And so he had to take care of that. But listen, it was to be burning not only in the daytime, because it was dark in the holy place in the daytime. They needed light and it was real dark. Just like we need lights here even though it's daytime. But they needed it at night. It would be like if tonight God wanted the church, he doesn't say this for us in this building, but leave the lights on all night. God said in that house of God, you leave the lights on. By the way, the church building is not the house of God. The members of this church are the house of God. And you need the lights burning day and night. Are you burning day and night, or are you burning with lust at night? Are you burning with greed at night? Are you burning with sin at night and doing things that maybe I don't see and others don't see, but God sees you. And he saw what was going on there, and he did not like it, and that the light had gone out, and Eli wasn't seeing it tended. He didn't have to do it himself, but he needed to make sure it was done. I can't do everything, but I need to make sure everything is done around here the way God wants it done. Now, Eli was the high priest, and his sons were the high priests. But you know what the Bible says? In the New Testament, if you're a born-again Christian, you are a priest. That means you offer sacrifices to God for people through Jesus Christ, the great high priest. And that means you offer people things from God, like the word of God and things that you would give and do. Tithes and offerings are offerings. Giving the gospel is an offering. You are priests. And the Lord says that you are, and I am to be, holding forth the light of the gospel. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, is our nation crooked.
Amen.
You know, Donald Trump talks about crooked Hillary. But there are a lot more than just Hillary. She's one of many. There are a lot of crooked people. Do you know what? We're all as crooked as a dog's hind leg. But the word of God is straight. And God says the only thing that will straighten people up truly is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God says you're to be holding the gospel out as a lamp, as a light, and that you are to do that in the midst of this nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. In other words, when you go out in the world, it ought to be this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Are you doing it? You see, the world will try to blow it out, Steve. The world will try to blow it out. The devil will try to blow it out. They'll try to go against you and try to shut you up and everything. But God says, don't let the light go out like Eli did. It's your responsibility to keep your wick trimmed. It's your responsibility, beloved, that you're filled with the oil of the Holy Ghost. It's your responsibility that you keep soul winning, that you keep witnessing, getting people saved, bringing them to church, bringing them down the aisle to get baptized. And then it's your responsibility that they become workers doing the same thing. Listen to me. We've hit the Titanic. The Titanic has hit the iceberg. And it's going down. And we are rescuing people. Eli had failed to keep the light burning. I was out Thursday night with Brenda and Steve Manning here. And we went out and we were given the gospel. And we went to a particular guy, and he was Tom Lighton's neighbor. And he'd been to our church, but we asked him the two spiritual questions, didn't we? And he needed help because he was having some darkness there. He needed the light of the gospel. And we gave him the light of the gospel, and he professed his faith clearly. And we wanted to help him with that. Listen, I've been doing that. I did that yesterday. Just about every day that happens with me. I don't always get it. I missed three people, I think, where God said, you should have let your light shine. You should have let your light shine. And then the fourth one, I led to the Lord. But we can miss it. I don't want to be an Eli, amen? I don't want to be somebody like Hotney and Phinehas. I don't want to be in that place. I want to have a church that is holding forth the word of life, getting people saved every week, seeing people down the aisle every week, seeing people baptized. I want to see that happening, and that's my responsibility. If that's not happening, everything is held accountable and responsibility to the head preacher in the local church. I want to be like John the Baptist. You know what John the Baptist was? He was a bright and shining light. How about you? Are you like a night light? Or are you like a big yard light? Or like a big searchlight? I don't want to be a little night light, a dimwit. You know what a dimwit is? That's somebody that doesn't shine with the gospel and doesn't let the light shine. Listen, I want to challenge you. Make sure your spiritual wicks have the crud trimmed off of them. You have things that get into your life that can sidetrack you, sins, get you away from the house of God, get you away from the Word of God, get you away from tithes and offerings and use your money for yourself. You can get into selfish living. And God wants you to have those wicks trimmed. And my responsibility is to have the sword, King James Bible, of the Spirit, amen, only one, and which is the Word of God. And that your responsibility is to be here and to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church so that you can have your wick trimmed. How's your lamp? It's your responsibility to have your wick trimmed. How is the oil? Each one of us is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Are you being filled with the Spirit? Are you praying for the power of the Holy Spirit? And are you going out and witnessing and helping others that get saved to learn to give the gospel? Because I'm training people and I know all the time I need to be doing that. They need to learn it. Not just the pastors or the few leaders in the church. No, every person is a priest. And so this is the question I have. How is your lamp doing? Are you that bright and shining light that Jesus wants you to be? And Jesus is here this morning. Amen. We heard Harold sing about him. Did you worship him? Jesus is here this morning. You're hearing him being preached about. He is the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. We hold him up. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here today and you're in darkness and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But you may not know that today. I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ is your way to heaven. Not joining the church, not getting baptized. Coming to Jesus by simple faith will save you. Come as you are, a sinner. Come as you are, unable to please God, unable, but willing to be saved, willing to have him save you out of your sinful life. He'll do it. He'll do it this very day. And he bids you to come. And God says that Jesus is here inviting you to come to him. How is your lamp? You are responsible that your lamp is burning brightly. But listen, there's a second thing. You are replaceable. You are replaceable. Eli was the leader responsible to keep the lamps burning. He lost his vision, physically and spiritually. He failed in his spiritual hearing of the Word of God. He was telling Samuel. Samuel went to bed that night, the little boy. Maybe there's a little boy here today. And here or downstairs, you know, as a little boy, you can be saved and you can be a servant of God. God can work with you. And here was this man of God that had failed, and this little boy was there, and God was speaking to him, and he said, Samuel, Samuel. You know what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. He speaks to you personally to draw you to himself. He speaks to you personally to call you to serve him. And he was speaking to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel goes, Eli, you called me. He said, no, I didn't. Go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. Eli, you called me. He was very, very good servant. Young men should look up to older men that are godly, right? Should have. That's a problem today. We don't have enough older men that are godly. Samuel, Samuel, go back to bed. I didn't call you. Came a third time. God said, Samuel, Samuel. He went there and he goes to Eli. Eli gets it figured out that, wait a minute, he didn't hear. I get it. I get it. It's God that's speaking to him. He said, listen, little boy. He said, when that happens again, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. He went back and this time he said, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And then God told him what he wanted to tell him. Now the Bible said that before this time, Samuel didn't know the Lord. Plus, he didn't know the Word of God. He had never put his faith in the Lord before. He was in the church, but it's possible you can go to church, maybe you've been baptized, but you don't know the Lord Jesus personally. Do you know the Lord personally? You need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And each person has to get saved themselves. And Samuel, he came to know the Lord right then and there. And the Lord also told him, I've got a prophecy for you. I want to tell you what I'm going to do. And he actually spoke to Samuel about Eli and the failure of Eli and Eli's house and what was going on in Eli's house. And you say, well, what did he tell Samuel? Well, remember I said that they were going with the hot women and they were fornicating with them. And God said they were taking his offerings. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill those sons. Eli should have had them stoned. I'm going to kill them. God said it to Samuel, little boy. He said, I'm going to kill Eli. And I'm going to, guess what? Samuel was going to replace them. He was going to be a judge like Eli. He was going to be a prophet of God. Now, they didn't have that. And he was ministering in a priestly way. And so he offered sacrifices. He did it all. And he was allowed to do it under God. And called of God to do it. What was he doing? He was replacing. I'm saying if you aren't a lamp, God can replace you, deacon. If you're not a lamp, pastor, God can replace you. If you're not a lamp that's burning, God can replace you, lady, that may be busy about this and that and the other thing, but you're not a soul-winning lady. God can replace you, teenager. I'm just saying that God has a way to replace if we don't take care of our lamp and make sure our lamp is burning bright. And that's exactly what happened. Eli's sons went into battle. They said, oh, we'll fight the Philistines. They thought they were all right with God, but they weren't right with God, fornicating and taking his offerings. And they said, we'll take the Ark of the Covenant right out of the temple because people are afraid of that. And they were right. The Philistines were afraid of the Ark. They said, oh, no, they got the Ark. That's scary. That's the Ark that defeated Egypt and brought Israel out of Egypt. And, oh, that's a powerful thing. But listen, the Ark is not God. God is God.
Amen.
The Ark symbolizes the presence of God. So they use the ark like a magic rabbit's foot. Let me tell you, wearing a cross with Jesus on it is not really Jesus, and it's against the Word of God. That's not going to help you.
Nope.
You need the power of God.
Amen.
You live in fornication, and you do certain things. That what you say, what are you talking about, fornication? You're living with somebody not married to them. Teenager, adult, I don't care who you are. The Bible says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You say, man, you're old-fashioned. You're behind the time. You're behind the times. What are you, back in the 50s and 60s? Or what are you? No, I'm about 2,000 years behind the time when the Bible was written. You know, some people come to this church and they say, man, this church is too old-fashioned for me. I've heard ladies say that sometime. You know, ladies in America need to get right with God. And they need some men that will stand up for God. They say, this is too old-fashioned for me. Well, listen, you're too modern for me. And you're too modern for God. Because he hasn't changed. And therefore, I'm not going to change. Get a hold of that one. I did that when I was 19 when I preached. My wife heard me preaching and kids were mocking me down in Florida at a youth meeting. And she was mad at them because they were mocking me about preaching because I said you shouldn't kiss till you get to the altar. Man and woman shouldn't be kissing till they get to the altar. These people are saying, he's crazy. You know, he's crazy. I'm still doing it. I was 19. Now I'm at least 39. I'm still doing it. Stop laughing. I'm still doing it. And I'm just saying to you, God has not changed. God says, get back to the old past. Get back to the old ways. And Eli was changing. He was letting his sons lead him. He was not doing the right thing. And the Bible says this in Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 11. It says, Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Do you know what? Our church here, thank God for it, we have a Thursday night soul winning. We probably have about 30 people coming out. for that, just about that, just under that, Thursday, on a regular Thursday night. We're training new people all the time so that they could be soul winners. That's why we do it. It's a training time. Thank God for that. Marion Owen comes out. I praise the Lord for that. We have many, many of you that do that and come out. You know what? We're doing that. We have four bus routes going all the way into Wilkes-Barre, going up to Carbondale and points in between. Thank God for that. But you know what? If I don't do it, if I become an Eli and I don't do it, God will raise up somebody that'll do it. I like what Brother Hiles used to say. You throw me out because you don't like the kind of leadership of soul winning and being a leader of a soul winning church. He said, I'll go plant a church across the street.
Preach it.
And do the same thing. God will plant somebody else in your place. If you don't do it, as an individual, you are responsible to do it, and you are replaceable. Doesn't matter what your title is, what your position is. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of principle. Follow His word, and you will be blessed. And don't let somebody else take your reward in the kingdom that's coming, and even in this life, of being a witness. And what a important thing that is for you and I to understand. So don't relax your grip on your daily walk with God. Don't relax your grip on getting your wick trim by responding to preaching and by listening to rebuke. Don't fail to get fresh oil. Though our outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. Get that fresh oil. Don't fail to give the gospel and help train new ones to give the gospel. Don't fail to give your tithes and offerings to a church where the gospel light will go out. And I know some people, they may be afraid to come to this church because somebody doesn't want them to come, but they want to help this church. We'll take it. We'll take the help. But for their sake, I wish they could come and get all that we have to offer. And I'm just saying, how is your lamp doing? You're responsible for it, and you are replaceable. Now, are you here and you're not sure that you're saved? If you fail to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ to get saved, and you refuse to get saved, God will find somebody else. Did you hear me? God chose the Jewish people, but when they failed to respond, God found somebody else. Maybe you've heard the gospel and you've heard God's offer. I've got a free gift for you, a home in heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl. I've got a home where you can live forever. Jesus is offering it to you. You say, who paid for that home? It's rent free. Who paid for it? Jesus Christ with his blood. And he says, I'm offering it to you. And what do I have to do to get it? You have to do nothing but receive it by faith. You have to say, I do. It's like getting married. People live together, they're not married. They have no legal claim on one another. They're just two monogamous fornicators. But when you say, I do, you're married to a covenant. God says, here's the invitation to receive the gift of eternal life. But you have to say, I do, Jesus. I accept that gift. And then you are saved. That moment. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're here today. Have you heard this? If you've heard it, if you put it off and you say, oh, I might do that, then he'll find somebody else. You know, that's what the Jews did in the wilderness. For 40 years, he offered them the promised land, and they kept refusing it. They kept refusing to believe it. And finally, they said, oh, there are giants in the land. We can't do it. They refused to believe God. And you know what? God said, okay, for all those years that you refused, you're gonna wander 40 days in the wilderness. After the spies were 40 days checking out the land, they refused it. He said, okay, you're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Now, they all died in the wilderness. They didn't get in the promised land. Are you going to die and go to hell because you refused to be saved and have Jesus Christ? The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the good news of God. But if you refuse it, God will find somebody else. The Jews refused it, and what did God do? He went to the Gentiles, right?
Amen.
Who are most of the people in this church? They're not Jewish people, they're Gentile people. He's saving some Jews, but not many. I would to God he'd save the whole nation, and he will one day, but not yet. I'm just saying, if you refuse it, God will get others to fill these pews and to be saved and to serve God. You're replaceable. Christian, if you refuse to do your part to let your light shine, you're replaceable. And you're responsible. Whoever you are, it doesn't matter what your past is, what your position is, what your income is. It doesn't matter. Eli had all kind of pedigree. He was in the high priestly family. He failed in his responsibility. I don't want to be an Eli. I want to be a John the Baptist, a bright and a shining light. You say, well, how do I get that light in my life? I don't have it. I have a God-shaped vacuum. I'm empty inside. I don't have it. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. You come to him. Let's say he's a candle and he's got a light. You come to him and he'll light you. You know, we had a watch night service this past year. I had my grandkids here. And we turn off the lights and we have candles. I start off with a candle that's lit up, and then different people come up and they give their testimony and they light their candle from my candle and then others from those candles until we're all burning with candles in the darkness. And I got a kick out of this because I had my grandkids there. And finally, my grandson Chesapeake, I guess the grandmother gave a testimony, my wife, and he said, I'm going to give a testimony. So he came up with his candle, and he's looking for somebody to light him. And he sees his grandma, you know, and he goes over to her, and she lights him. And he gives his testimony and sits down, or stands up there with a candle. Well, right after that, of course, Cody Majeski comes up to him, his buddy, Chesapeake. He goes, Chesapeake, old man, Chesapeake. Why didn't you come to me? I would have lit you up. That's what Jesus is saying to you. Why don't you come to me? I would light you up. Oh, Jerusalem, I would light you up. I would love to light you up. And once you burn, you'll never go out, just like the light was supposed to never go out. And I thank God for lighting me up when I was 17 years old, Muskegon, Michigan. And I'm here now in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That was 1967. It's now 2024. Praise God, he lit me up. Are you lit up? It's your responsibility to trust Jesus and to come to him by faith. Are you doing it? Have you done it? If you do, you'll be saved. If you don't, you'll be damned to hell. I'm telling you, most people will die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you the truth today. But I want to also tell you that if you are born again, that your wick, it's burning low. Your wick has got crud on it. Crud of sin needs to be trimmed off. Crud on it. You need to trim it. You need to get the oil burning and get the olive oil in there. That's the Holy Spirit. You're not doing it. It's your responsibility. Let's do our part. Everybody's to be, Brother Harold, your favorite thing, clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission, right? Eli was a failure as a man of God. If they clicked around Eli, they wouldn't get much. But God said, I'm going to replace him. Don't you be replaced. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. And we're talking this morning about how is your lamp doing? And I want to ask you.